Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
I want to talk to you about anger. As you know, we're in a sermon series. We continue. It's all summer long. It's July and August. It's on baggage, and that's why we have these illustrations up here. And let me just tell you the theme verse that we're going to use. We're preaching expository from Ephesians chapter 4. But this is the verse 26, that I'm going to be preaching about. The Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. So 3 weeks ago, I started this off. But then Pastor Chad, and last week Pastor Andy, didn't they do a fantastic job? We show our appreciation. Wonderful. If you miss any of the sermons, just go on our app and you can listen to them. Our website, it really helps you to grow. But we're looking through Ephesians chapter 4. We're starting in verse 20 through 24. That's our theme verse. We're encouraging you to memorize these five verses this summer. Be faithful in church attendance. And if God's challenged you to do anything else, it's this new life that's found in Christ. But I'm going to ask that you would say this verse, these verses, and say it loud. Matter of fact, for your best shower voice, I'm going to invite you to stand with me. You need to kind of shake out the sand out of your bathing suits right now. And we're going to say it loud together. All right, how about let's do this. Let's shake this up a little bit. The ladies are going to read verses 20. The men are going to read verse 21. We're all going to read verse 22, the ladies verse 23, and the guys verse 24. If you don't know you're a man or a woman at this time, we could help you. So ladies verse 20, men verse 21, everyone verse 22, ladies verse 23, and men verse 24. Does that sound good? Listen. If we can't get this, we're going to read the whole Bible right through, all right? All right, ladies, start us off. Ready? That, however, is not the way of life you learn. When you heard about Christ and were taught in Him, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, everybody, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its evil. Ladies, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Men, and to put on the new self created to be in true righteousness and holiness. Listen, just between the girls and the guys, I have to just make a quick evaluation. Boys rule, girls drool. All right, I'm just saying right there. Just I had to say that. Let's wait, before you're seated. The key verse is verse 22. Everyone read it real well. We're talking about when Christ comes in, He gives us a new way to live from the inside out. And it's kind of like, therefore, since Christ has forgiven us, given us grace, we can live with the power of the resurrection in a new way. Today we're talking about anger, but let's read it, verse 22, one more time in our best voice. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Good job. You may be seated. This morning, for illustration, I have a knife. In the words of Crocodile Dundee, that's not a knife. A knife by itself is neither good nor evil. But used, it can be used both for good and evil. How many of you have a butcher block group of knives in your home, right? Or you have a drawer like us. Does anyone else have a kitchen drawer where everything goes in there? Your kids go in there, your shoes, everything goes in there, right? So we have a butcher block of knives. A knife in a kitchen could be great. You cut up the watermelon, the cantaloupe. You could put a Hallmark movie on and dice up some onions and just get real emotional with it, right? But somebody who is angry, you take a knife to a neck of somebody else and you commit murder with the exact same knife. Anger by itself is neither good nor bad. It's just a human emotion that we all should actually use, But in a positive way, it could be very good for our lives. In a negative way, it could bring murder and judgment and wrath upon your life. So this morning, I want to talk to you about anger. This is the verse again, verse 26. Next week will be verse 27. Pastor Jermell will be back. He'll preach on verse 27. We're taking one verse every week. This is our verse for today. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're angry. We're going to take the first one. This is our first point. In your anger, do not sin. Matter of fact, the Bible says anger is a command. We should become angry. Look what King James Version says. Be ye angry. It says you should get angry, but when you get angry, do not sin. You say, what does that mean? Well, theologians will say the word anger in a positive or productive way, in a godly, spiritual, biblical way, they would use it called a righteous indignation, an anger towards sin or the consequences of what sin does to us. Let me just be clear. God hates it when you sin. He knows that when you sin and the emotion that comes with and the consequences of it will bring destruction of your life. He has a righteous indignation, if you will. And we see that Jesus himself got angry, but it was in a godly, righteous indignation way. You say, what do you mean? Matthew 21, look what it says. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. Jesus walked into the church. He did this twice, in the beginning of his ministry, then at the end. And he sees basically poor people not being able to enter into this. The Bible even goes on to say further, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers. So in the church, it'd be like the church lobby. People were selling like sacrifices and they were pushing away the poor people. And Jesus said, the church should be for all people to come and pray and call on the Lord. In John's gospel, it says, zeal for my house consumes me. And he comes and he gets in an anger, a righteous anger. He starts flipping over the money tables and saying, what you guys are doing is not right, it's unjust, and it's keeping some people from getting close to God. We see Jesus get angry over that which was wrong and keeping people from God. So listen, men and women, I think, generally handle anger different. Men handle anger kind of with their physical body. For example, most men, when they commit suicide, they use violence, a gun or a knife. Most women, when they commit suicide, will use prescription drugs or they'll overdose like on Tylenol. Men by nature are angry. Every man in this room, you are going to have to deal with the emotion of anger. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, too, is angry. The Bible says it's okay for us to be angry as long as it's put in the right way, in a righteous indignation. So it's okay if your kids aren't serving the Lord and they're doing the wrong thing for you to become angry about it and say the drugs that they're on, the heroin that keeps them from church and from the altar, I'm angry about it. I'm so angry. I'm going to get up from my chair at the end of the sermon. I'm going to come and I'm going to lift my hands to heaven. I'm going to start interceding and praying for my kids. It's not okay for them to go to hell. Does that make sense? It's a little bit different when anger becomes sin is when things just happen to us and we respond because bad things happen to us. But Jesus, matter of fact, he's our best example. The worst thing that ever could have happened to Jesus was that he went the way of the cross. But the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 2, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So when things happened to him, he just didn't lash out. Jesus responded in love when things happened to him, but in godliness, when sin and the consequences of sin, he responded to anger. There's another time. Jesus was healing on the Sabbath. That's a Saturday, Mark chapter 3. And you can see Jesus gets upset, a righteous indignation. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He said to them, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. But you see that Jesus, in his anger, he was mad at the Pharisees and the Sadducees who, they were religious, but their hearts were far from him. Everybody in this room, you can be angry. That which was wrong, You know, there might be a cause or a concern, the unjust, the unborn, those who are not proper representation in our cities. You're poor. They get locked up for 5 years for a little bit of marijuana, and then some kid in Marlton has crack cocaine, and he only gets a slap on the wrist. There is a righteous indignation about that which is wrong. We see that with Jesus. So it's okay for us to express that emotion that's inside of us. Jesus also said in his teaching in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, about anger. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. That is the sixth commandment in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not murder. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Now, most people in this room will not take up arms with guns or knives and kill people. Most people in this room won't. Most people are civilized. You use a certain type of deodorant. You are civilized. But what will happen to people, and the Bible says brothers or sisters, things will creep in and things will happen and cause dissension with you, and it can even happen as Christians. You will start becoming frustrated or angry with one another. Let me just take it one step farther. Brother Coletti, the district superintendent, when I became the pastor here, this is now 10 and a half years ago, he encouraged the congregation. He said, please, when things are happening in your own personal life, don't take it out on the pastor. Oftentimes, people get mad at God, but you can't see God, for God is spirit and he's in heaven. But who can you take it out on? His representative. So you can sit here in church, be frustrated and angry with things that are happening in your life, or you just got fired, or there's a situation, your marriage is not good, your kids aren't serving God, or whatever, and you start turning even on me or each other because you're frustrated or angry. You won't pick up the knife, but inside, you begin to become angry. There's a new book out that talks about leaving church, and this is what it says as far as understanding the current spirit that's happening in our world. In all my years of pastoring, I've never heard of someone who left a church because the pastor suddenly changed his theology and adopted snake handling worship practices. Too often people leave a church because of disagreement, not getting their way, or because the sermons are no longer deep enough. Often when we dig into the reason the sermons are not deep enough, it ultimately goes back to the person being offended or not having the faulty theology is endorsed from the pulpit. The same pastor who was previously deep enough becomes shallow once there is an offense. It is incredibly difficult to hear from God in a sermon when we are offended by the person delivering the sermon. As Christians, we should examine our motives before we make a decision. Before we quit church, we need to check our motives. Are we running away from the problem? Are we handling it the right way? Listen, today, if you're angry at God, don't get angry at me. I'm a really nice guy. Thank you. One person, yeah, we love you. My mom's in church today. Thank you, Mom. But whether you know it or not, or you ever heard it that way, if you're angry, you say, I'm mad at you'll find something in church to be mad at. You'll actually take it out on me. And I'm here to tell you, you cannot do that. I'm a nice guy. I've been in ministry, I've never stolen not one penny from the offering. I've not touched anybody inappropriately. I've been faithful to my wife. I've preached theology. I haven't done anything wrong. I am not your problem. Does that make sense? So the problem is this. You can up and leave and go, you know, I'm leaving this church. You could do that, but you'll take your problem and your anger with you. So you don't turn on other people, especially when people are trying to help you, but inevitably, people will look for somebody or something to get angry about in their life. In your anger, do not sin. Here's point number two. Do not let the sun go down while you are angry. So if the Bible says you actually can be angry, how long can you be angry for? One day. Matter of fact, somebody tell me, what time is the sun going to go down tonight? 8:30. So if you're angry right now, you could be angry between now and 8:30. Let it out. Go outside and curse. Shoot guns. Take drugs. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. I'm joking. But you only have between now and 8:30. In January, you only have between now and 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The Bible puts a timeline on how long you can be angry. And it says, do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, I do premarriage counseling. Pastor Chad does a lot of premarriage counseling. This what premarriage counseling means, before you get married, you meet and you go over some curriculum, what the Bible says about how to have a functioning marriage or relationship. But this is not limited to the marriage relationship, but certainly the marriage relationship. Before you go to bed, you have to forgive one another. Before the sun goes down, so if you take that to be 8:30, or before you go to bed, let's say you go to bed at 10 or 11 or 1 or whatever, you have to get things right in your marriage. You can't go the next day, because if it does, you wake up with the same problems. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you a quick video. How many of you remember the TV show Everyone Loves Raymond? Okay. I think there's some repeats that are happening right now. But it involves a suitcase. It involves baggage. I don't know if you remember this. But what happens is they went on a vacation. And there was a disagreement. And the baggage, is left at the bottom of the steps for 3 weeks. Both people refused to take it up. They had an offense. They had a problem. And I want you to see how they dealt with it. Everyone loves Raymond. Watch this.
You know, I don't want to get in a fight over a suitcase right before I have to go. I'll just do it.
Hey, listen to me. This is not about a suitcase. This is about who wears the pants in the family. Now, whose idea was to bring it in the first place? Hers, right?
Yeah, and then I was stuck lugging it around all weekend.
If you move that suitcase, you might as well put on a dress and change your name to Daisy Mae Tinklepants.
Ray, you gotta leave soon. Are you gonna get ready?
Yes. Yes, I am.
What was that about?
It's all right, Deb. You don't need to pretend with me. I know all about the suitcase.
What do you mean?
I know about your little Mexican standoff.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Ah, forget about it. Hey, looks like Ray forgot to take the suitcase with him. You ought to bring it up.
He had 3 weeks! Why didn't they move that thing? 3 weeks! At first I thought he was just clueless, but if he talked to you about it, he knew what he was doing.
Well, aren't you doing the same thing?
If you don't take care of your problems before the sun goes down tonight, you'll wake up with the same problems. You say, well, maybe just 2 days, or 3 weeks, or it could be 3 years. There may be some people in this room, you've been carrying some luggage for years, since your childhood. It could have been last night, you had a fight with a family member, a kid, or whatever. I want to show you the last part of this, how they resolved conflict in their life, anger, frustration, how they waited 3 weeks. Watch how they resolved it, or maybe should I say, did not resolve it. Watch this.
Okay, Ray. You know what? I'm getting it.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
It means I'll get it. I'll be the one who got it.
Oh, no. I will get it. Let the record show that I got it.
Let go of this.
You let go of it. You let go of it. Let go! Let go! Let go!
I'll take
how's the suitcase thing going?
All right, pause it right there. That is Miriam's side of the family, right there. Right there. My wife is part of the FBI, full-blooded Italians. I'm telling you right there. That guy right there is Miriam's older brother. His name is Adino. He lives in the UK. That's the younger brother, Jimmy. We're going to have dinner with him tonight. That is an Italian family if you ever met one. Your family may be a black family, a Spanish family. Hey, we come from Africa. We come from South America. It has the same thing, but the point is this. If you allow frustration, anger to fester, you go to bed, you wake up with it the next day. So the Bible says this. You can move on from that. The Bible says this. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. You have to get it right. And people will make excuses on this. You say, John, I'm Irish. My grandfather, you should have seen it. He drank beer. He drank 20 beers a day, and he was angry. He cursed. It's been in our family. So my grandfather, you know, he immigrated here. He's Irish-American. And then he came, and that's how my dad was, and he was angry. And that's the reason why I'm the way I am. I've heard this with every culture. You can take Spanish-speaking people, and they'll divide up their own culture their own way. I've seen this with lighter-skinned people and darker-skinned people, white people, black, and people make all these excuses the way they are, and the Bible says this, no justification. If you're angry, you have to square up by the end of the day. You can't go to sleep until that happens. Now, let me just give some marital advice. If you're angry, get it and ask God, for forgiveness as soon as possible. Pick a time, 9 o'clock, but if you start like having this waiting game, it goes to 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and all of a sudden you ruin the next day. Let me give some more advice. Sometimes when you have to get things right, it takes some time for a cooling off effect. So when my wife and I disagree, we have an argument or whatever, I am quick to ask for forgiveness. Like especially when I mess up like all the time. So I'll say, I'm sorry, and I'm ready to move on. Generally, it takes my wife a few extra moments to let it come down. I found it to be true that ladies have to process a little bit longer. Am I right? Yeah. That's my dad that's clapping right there. I got my family. I'm going to introduce you all to them. Look what James chapter 1, verse 19 says. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone, man, women, brother, everybody should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. You know, that's why the Bible gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. Most people have like 10 mouths and no ears. They just quickly say whatever they say, and they give full vent to their frustration. Somebody did something to you? Oh, yeah? I'm going to get you back. And so you have this battle of anger and frustration. America has it like crazy, especially in politics. Republican says something, Democrat, and you have to pick sides, and there's no reasonable for nothing. Meanwhile, now I hate you. That happens in families. Is who's going to win the fight or whatever? And the Bible says, listen, if you're going to have a righteous indignation, and most people actually don't deal with that, like you're really concerned about the teaching of the Old Testament as it applies to the New Testament and the rapture, that's not what you're fighting about. Most of the time, it's something that's inside of you, and you just are frustrated, and you just have to fight back. But if you would actually do what God tells you to do and go slow to get angry, it gives God the opportunity to come in and do something wonderful in your life, especially as it relates to vengeance. When people do you wrong, listen, I'm just going to tell you something right now. Just because you come to church doesn't mean everybody's always going to do everything right. My dad was a pastor, and someone made himself an enemy to my dad. It was during communion. I remember the communion service. People came up, got communion, and someone took a note and slipped a note to my dad that was full of anger and frustration and did it right over the communion table. I was in Newark, New Jersey, and I had 2 cars stolen out of the church parking lot. Should that have happened? No. But things do happen in church. They happen in life. It's just going to be a matter of how you're going to handle it. And if you'll just give God an opportunity to come in, God can maybe use that difficult situation to give his grace and his mercy. Look what the book of Romans says about vengeance. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If you don't know what to do, come talk to a pastor. Hey, listen, man, my neighbor, he just got this new, like, lawn blower. And he keeps blowing all the leaves on my property. And I don't know what to do. Yeah, blow them back. That's my brother. We're glad that you're here, my adopted brother, cousin. So I just thought maybe it'd be good to, you know, take a hammer and throw it through the window to get his attention. Pastor, should I do that? Even if you're ignorant, you don't know what to do. Be careful to do what is right. I think most people, if you took a vote, don't throw the hammer through the window. Does that make sense? Watch. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. But you said exactly right. You know what you do? Go to Lowe's and get a better blower, stronger, and blow it back. Or better yet, rent a mulcher, take all this thing, and then put the blower, and then the whoosh. Do you see what just happened in church? We just actually implement vengeance on the neighbor. That's what happens. When somebody does something wrong to you, the natural reaction is to least equal or better them up, to let them know who's in charge. The Bible says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now listen, I'm not asking anyone to be a doormat, but the Bible does say this, do not take revenge, my dear friends, watch, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. So let's just take that example. Someone does you wrong. They got a new blower. They're showing off. They don't have a shirt on. Look at my new tattoo. I mean, the whole bit, right? You could take that as an opportunity to get them back. You say, Lord, I'm going to bring peace. It's okay for me to be wrong. You don't think they would notice that? You don't think that maybe God can use a bad situation to glorify his name? I'm going to tell you something right now. You're a Christian. Bad things will happen to you. God will test you. Your mettle will be tested. And you can get angry and get frustrated. You can work yourself back. I'm a child of the King. I believe in miracles. So what? Bad things are going to happen. But if you will have one mouth, two ears, and go slow, it gives God an opportunity to have grace on that. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. You say, well, somebody did something really bad to me. I'm just waiting for the right time. You have your scheme. You're planning it out. You're waiting for someone to turn their shoulder. You have it going on. Nobody knows about it. You come to church, pay your tithes. You have this whole thing playing out. The whole thing plays out for years. If this only happens, if my wife dies, my husband dies, no one's looking, that house comes open, whatever it is, you have this whole thing playing out. And says, the Lord says, I need you to give that to me. I just need you to give that to me. Vengeance is mine. You say, well, John, someone's done me wrong. They stole money from me. Sometimes it's actually okay to be the peacemaker, to be wronged for the sake of peace. I sometimes say this. I'm not trying to be macho man in our home, but I'm the man. Listen, I have three daughters. A wife, I know, I sometimes struggle with anger, frustration, wanting to be right, competitive. I do not want to lose. Right now, JoJo and I have backgammon going every night. Backgammon, best 2 out of 3. Lord of the board. That's what we call it. Man, I can feel my emotion in it. Men, you'll feel your emotion in that home, at the workplace, on the sports field. Volleyball. Where's Linda? Is Linda in the house? Oh, Linda, she's my new admin. She was on my team for volleyball, and she missed it. I almost kicked her out of the party. I'm like, come on! We gotta win! Are you kidding me? You want to keep working at the charge? Hit the ball right! We're not losing! Listen, that emotion's a lot of fun, but in high school, it got me in some trouble. I allow that emotion. That's not righteous indignation. That's not concern for God and the Word and the unborn and heaven and hell. That's just me being wanting to win. And we feel that emotion. But when it comes to real life, vengeance belongs to the Lord. And I found this, the only way to deal with anger is this one word, forgiveness. And if I will take the lead, whoever wants to be the best in the house, I use the term man, like the man of the house. But maybe you're a single mom, or you're a single person, or you're a kid, maybe your parents aren't even serving the Lord. It's okay for you to take a step back and say, you know what, according to the scripture, before the end of today, I'm going to give forgiveness. Because if I don't, I'm going to take it to the next day. Forgiveness. Grace. You know what God wants to do in your life? Everybody in the room, if anyone has any sins, you know what he wants to do for you today? He wants to forgive you of your sins. Look what Matthew chapter 6 says about forgiveness, and we're almost done. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You know what Jesus does? He forgives us of our sins. And when you spend time, thank you, Lord, when you spend time with Jesus, you know his heart, his way, the very next step is that you start forgiving other people. And God gives you a timeline. If you're upset, you're frustrated, angry, you even have murderous thoughts or whatever, at the end of the day, you have to release that to God. You say, well, John, I work with a bunch of bozos at my job. Incompetent, knucklehead, stupid. If you knew the people around me, how many times do I need to forgive on the 7 days? I mean, on the same day, the Bible says this. On the same day, this is how much you need to forgive. Matthew 18. And by the way, if you want to know how to deal with difficult situations in your life, read Matthew 18. We call it the Matthew 18 principle. If you have a problem with somebody, you go to them, talk face to face, not social media. If you still have a problem, you bring somebody else. Most people just like to make it a big deal. But when the Bible says this about how often you should ask forgiveness, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? 7 times? Like, my wife's driving me crazy. Do I need to say 7 times a day? Can't we cap it at 6? Look what he says. I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Who can do the math real quick? 70 times 7 is what? What? Okay, we have 490. I'm hearing 499. I'm hearing 517. No, 490. Do you know by 9 o'clock tonight, you would have to forgive the same person 490 times? I know some of your parents are thinking, yeah, well, some of my kids, it's like 480 every day. This is what the Bible, how many times should I forgive somebody? Listen, if you know me, if you know Jesus, if you claim to know Jesus and he forgives you and he cannot keep forgiving you if you don't forgive other people, you would have to forgive the same person the same day 490 times. So some of us in this room, you know what you need? Just allow God to forgive you. You're beating yourself up from a past sin, from a problem, something spitting in your head. And today, the Bible says, could be a day of release. Jesus, would you just forgive me? I've had to do this. You know what the hardest thing to do is? To confess your sins one to another. You carry baggage in your life of unforgiveness. It bothers you. Nobody knows. You wish somebody didn't know. You wish you could get it out or whatever. And you just carry. You say, I'm a Christian. I come to church. I love God. I know red carpet, you know, pass out cookies, whatever. And it's wonderful. But at some point, you just want to let this down. The answer for anger is always forgiveness. At the end of the day, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Confess your sins one to another. Why? So you'll be healed. You know what I want more for you than anything else? Not for you to have to carry baggage any longer. You say, but John, man, it's really humiliating to kind of tell our stuff to other people. And man, our family has so much problems and baggage. And listen, every family has problems. And we have to forgive and give grace. Or maybe it's not just forgiving ourselves, but maybe there's somebody that you need to forgive. The Lord's working on it. I'm just angry, John, at him. I hate my dad. I don't want to be like my mom. You know, she left my dad. I know he married some other guy. And I hate my sister. What she's done to the family, she's ruined it. And you do have anger and hate or thoughts of all this inside of you. And the Bible says, let it go today. Let Jesus forgive you today. And maybe you can forgive other people today and let that baggage just go away. And listen, it could be that life is just so short that we just need to consider how much time we have left and how we hold on to it. We're just wasting our time. Jeannie Balsham, who retired and left Marlton Assembly of God, moved down to South Carolina last April. She was my admin. She answered the phones. Boy, she was just so loving and kind to this congregation. How many remember Jeannie Balsham? Wonderful. She doesn't post too much on social media, but I saw that she posted a couple days ago. Just found out this morning during the 9 o'clock service her mom passed away. But let me just tell you what she wrote a couple days ago. I'm not usually on social media, but needed to share something with my loved ones. I'm sitting in Huntsville Rehab Health Center in Charlotte, watching my mother die. She had a stroke last night and is really suffering. They have her on morphine every 2 hours, and hospice is doing an incredible job to keep her comfortable. I'm deeply touched by the amazing medical community and thank them for their sacrificial love for others. While my heart is tender, I have had the privilege to take care of my mother for the past 3 years. She's battled breast cancer twice, had a massive heart attack, and needed a pacemaker. Now she has a stroke. As she faces her last days, I see fear and panic in her eyes. I stroke her forehead and sing to her. I tell her that I love her. I remind her that she asked Jesus into her heart and that because she believes he died for her and that he is the Son of God, she has the promise that as she leaves this world, she'll be into heaven with Jesus. Let me end by encouraging you, and I think this is maybe a message for us today, to have love in your heart. Forgive those who have angered or hurt you. Love never fails. Life is so fragile. Live each day as it were your last and live it for Jesus. I mean, you can hold it. You can ignore this message. There's no doubt. And some of you will. When you say, Lord, you know, this message is for me. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I don't like the way life goes. I'm disappointed. And I just need to bring that to Jesus. And this is kind of just a last thought. As a church, if we are not careful to promote forgiveness and grace as a theme at Marlton Assembly of God. Like in a couple minutes, we're going to wrap this up. And I'm going to say, does anyone need Jesus to forgive them of their sins? Does anyone want to start a relationship with God? Does anyone need grace? Does anyone need forgiveness? Does anyone need help? That even if you're having a bad day and someone got into your bank account, you could swing your mind to say, oh yeah, that's what this is all about. This is about Jesus, and he died on the cross, and eternal life. That's what the Christian faith is, and we need to be involved in getting people to the Lord, allowing forgiveness and allowing grace. We need to be right in the middle of forgiveness and grace in Jesus' name. So I live off of Hopewell Road in Marlton. I pay high taxes just like you. Pastors don't get free taxes in New Jersey. And so there's an email in our community. And it's an email, and whoever's kind of the head of it said, hey, how about we do a community barbecue this summer? Because most of us don't know each other. I've lived in my community development for 10 years. I don't know most people. I know some of the people. Some people take walks. The people next door to us, they're in their mid-50s. They retired from Michigan and moved to New Jersey. I'm like, who does that? To my left, like a catty corner, there's an Indian couple. Nice people. They walk often. 2 summers ago, they went back to India, and during the middle of the night, someone cut the cord for their cable and television, backed up an 18-wheeler truck, and took everything out of their house and moved away while they were away in India. There's police officers and everything. I kind of moved into the area. Everyone said, there goes the neighborhood. I don't know what's going on. We don't have an inside job. People across from us just gone through a divorce. People catty-corner just moved in. I didn't know it. The house actually has an indoor pool. How cool is that? There's a house down the road. You can kind of do it. My kids call it the murder house. It's actually an exact replica of the Miami Vice house. You remember Don Johnson and what's the other gentleman's name? It's actually exact. My kids call it the murder house. It looks like someone committed a murder in the house. But I really don't know everybody. And so there's this email going. So we have an email list. So let's just say there's suspicious activity. We have a couple break-ins, or let's say a car is like parked there for a couple days. There'll be an email that kind of goes around and says, does anyone know who's like email, like whose car is there? Or someone's dog will get loose. And I always like, that's ours, please bring it back, you know, that type of thing. But the lady who's ever in charge, she goes, how about we do a community barbecue? And I looked to my wife and I said, should we host it? So I believe that God puts each one of us at Marlton Assembly of God in the right neighborhoods, the right house, right apartments for you to bring light, hope, forgiveness, and grace to that community. Even if you don't know them, if you don't like them, even if they blow the even if bad things happen, that has nothing to do with it. God just has you there to bring forgiveness and grace. You're the hope of the world. You say, me? I just come to church here. Nope. God wants to mature you and develop you so you can bring forgiveness, hope to wherever you go. It's not just Pastor John's show. It's us. And so I actually have a burden for the people in my community. I don't even know them that well. A couple Christmases ago, some of my kids, they were so embarrassed. I said, how can we reach our community for Jesus? And I said, let's get candy canes. And we tagged on, like, I think it was a Christmas Eve, like, invite. And I would go to each person's home and invite them to church. You know, sometimes people say the candy cane looks like a shepherd's staff and the blood of Jesus. You ever hear this stuff? People can make up stuff about anything. So I just dropped one off. If people were creepy, I just knocked and ran. You know, I don't know. But I've been praying for my neighborhood, right? Then all of a sudden, email comes, let's do a community barbecue. I said, Miriam, this is our opportunity. Everyone can come to our house. Next Sunday, between 3 and 5, our whole development is coming to our house. You know what everybody in our development needs? Forgiveness and grace from Jesus. Now, we do have a little dilemma. We're an alcohol-free home. And so I told the nice lady who's ever in charge, Mrs. Nice Lady, I call her, Miss Nice Lady, can we put on the RSVP type of thing? We're an alcohol-free home. Because I don't want church people coming by the pastor's home next Sunday, 3 to 5, and you see big kegs there. You know, you see the Budweiser wagon with the horses out front, you know, hey, let's go, Pastor John, you know. Water you turned into wine, you know, hey, oh. So we put it on there. And people are texting and calling me, they're calling Nice Lady and stuff. And there's confusion. There's actually some people that are like, oh, no. No, they're not going to serve alcohol, but you can bring alcohol. And I'm like, well, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen. We don't drink alcohol. But you know, I can just tell you this. It doesn't matter if people are alcohol, drugs, if they're messed up, if they're loving, they're kind, they're not. I need to be in the middle of grace and forgiveness of Jesus. Just because I'm the pastor, I don't. Yeah. Those are my sisters and cousins right there. I don't need to get so like, well, I'm the pastor and I separate myself. The Bible says that Jesus stepped out of this great place called heaven and he came right in the middle where sinners were. I'm not talking about going into a bar or strip club to reach people for Jesus. I'm not talking about anything crazy. I'm just talking about you do your best and at some point it just kind of gets messy and you love people and give grace and mercy and forgiveness and it happens right there in your yard and say, listen, I just want to be the light of the world. I want to let people know about the hope that's found in Jesus. Or we can separate ourselves from the world and say, I'm telling you, if you will focus on souls and forgiveness and grace, and people have all these problems, forgiveness is the answer for anger, because you can only go to the end of the day. So at some point, you just got to forgive people. And I want to be in the middle of inviting people to my house. I want people to know about love and grace. You can't even really start doing that until you know who they are. I don't even know my neighbors. God's opened up a door. 3 to 5. Next week, if you think about praying for me, don't drive by. Please don't drive by. If you do, don't take video or pick it. I don't know if you're going to be on the police blogger, Pastor John. I don't want all that stuff. All I know is this. God wants me to bring life and encouragement to the people around me. Marlton Assembly of God, if we will keep salvation, forgiveness of sins, anger will go away. If you will present yourself before the Lord between every night, before you go to bed, say, I'm going to get this right. If you don't, you will carry the baggage of anger the rest of your life. Or you could say, you know what, Lord, I want my heart to be pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You'll see God moving. And you just give it to the Lord. It's under the blood. Lord, it belongs to you. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand with me in the Lord's presence? The new life, the new way of thinking, the new motive of the heart, therefore, is a life of peace and joy in Christ. If you need forgiveness, there's a Savior here that wants to forgive you. He is faithful and just to forgive. If you need to forgive somebody else, there's supernatural power to help you to forgive. The love of Jesus would flood over your heart. Will love on you, will tell you how much he cares about you, will remind you of the cross, remind you of the blood. And Jesus wants to set you free from anger and frustration with somebody else so you can be free. You can be free. Listen, I've had to do it before. I've had to confess my sin. It's hard, but I got healed. In fact, I asked the Lord to change my brain towards competition and being first and always be right. Jesus said, I want you to learn how to be like me. I want you to serve, be the greatest servant of all. But it goes against my nature. I want you to learn how to grow as a man of God. I'm learning that. But it starts with grace and forgiveness. And the Lord wants to set you free. This baggage that you have, where did my baggage go? See, that's what happens when you let your baggage go. If not, I'm telling you, it just kind of stays like this your whole life. You say, Lord, I have dealt with people walking out, abuse or hurt. I am mad. I'm frustrated. I'm mad. I don't know why. It's just me. But I want to give that to Jesus. I want to be free. Before the day goes down, Lord, I want to be right with my family. I want things to be good. Lord Jesus, I want to be, Lord, I want you to live by that, this new way of living. In Jesus. We're going to start singing, Christ is enough. I believe it. He really is enough. He can help you to forgive ourselves and forgive other people so we can walk in freedom. We're going to start singing that. And I want to invite you to come around this altar. You say, well, I can pray in my own seat. You can. But there's something that happens when you take your feet and you combine your faith and say, Lord, today I mean business. I need forgiveness of sins. I need to release somebody else and forgive somebody because I'm just angry and frustrated and I need help. I need grace. I need the Lord to heal me. This is a process, but it starts with Jesus. It starts with a moment. It starts with forgiveness, the cross. We're just going to ask the Lord to do a supernatural work by His Spirit in this day, today, around this altar. And as soon as we start singing it, I want to invite you to come. We're going to pray.